services tonight. Let's just turn in our scriptures to Revelation, the sixth chapter. We'll read again the sixth seal because we're trying to get our understanding of this, and I hope you're enjoying it. And just pray for us that the Lord would guide us. I came here this afternoon and trying to study a while and meditate and pray. I saw some things this afternoon that opened up that we can move right on into some more word. So just pray for us that it'll be brought out correctly to where we can understand it. You know, a lot of times we misunderstand what Brother Branham's saying, and then in that we can just totally misunderstand the whole thing. So maybe we need to study a little more carefully. But let's just read our scripture over Revelation 6, what we've been reading now. This will be message number 4. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell up unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's just all pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here. We ask you now that you would just bless your word. Speak to your people. You promised you would, so we believe that you will. Guide us all, forgive our sins, lift us up in you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just for a little review, I hope that you caught what I was driving at this morning on the message of warning, then judgment. And I hope that you'll go home and pray about it, seek the Lord, and see if it applies to you and your thoughts. Because I had never seen before that it was in the scriptures how that, you know, that every time that God would send a warning, then he would send a judgment for rejecting that warning. And it'd never be to the place that, like we think. You know, we think that, well, the Lord, he tells us something, it just happens just like that. See, then we think, well, we get by with it. Well, we got by with that, as I said this morning. We really got by with that because the Lord hadn't struck me dead and I'm doing fine. But just remember, when you do wrong, Brother Branham said as a Christian, he says, you'll reap a tubful. Well, people might order to consider then that maybe they might not be Christians. Maybe they ought to consider it that way. That God chastens those who he loves, and if he's not chastening us, then we better consider whether we're sons or daughters or not. We better consider it that way. But see, warning then judgment. But my point was not to just beat us up and hammer on us and scream and holler. I hope that you was with me at the end of the message when I got down to the real point. That the fifth seal reveals grace. That reveals grace. We went through that enough that we ought to know that's what it reveals is grace. It revealed that a prophet would come because there's no combat beast there. Then if grace is spurned, what's the next thing? When mercy is turned down for the last time, what's the next thing? Judgment. See, then the fifth seal reveals grace. The sixth seal, what does it reveal? Judgment. Because of turning down the grace, we get the judgment. We ought to. We're taught by the prophet that we'll turn down, as we said this morning, reading from him, about warning then judgment there on page 6 and 7 where he was talking about how that you'd feel that little thing. Well, I hope we don't get to the place that we'll never be able to see and understand that that little thing happening is to warn us. Because judgment is next. See, if judgment begins at the house of the Lord, as we were reading the other day there, trying to quote, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and ungodly appear? Now, if the righteous, that's the bride of Christ, scarcely be saved, where will the sinner, Brother Brown said, that's a make-believer. And the ungodly, he said, that's just a plain ungodly sinner out there. Where will they have to appear at if the righteous scarcely be saved? It's checking up time, isn't it? It's time we consider. We better check up now. But now, what did we find, another thing from that I was hoping you'd catch? Why did God sometimes tell Israel that they was going to go down into a nation, would come and take them away? And sometimes it'd be 50 years later before they'd ever go into captivity. That was to try the true believer to see if he'd stay with the Word. What's happened then here in the last days? Why ain't the people here tonight like they were when I started here along about 1970 as pastor of the group? I mean, excuse me, about 75, 74, right in there. 75. Why are they not here tonight? Is it that they have mocked and made fun of the Word? That's their choice. That's not mine. It wouldn't do me any good to stand up here and say that. It wouldn't make them that either way. That wouldn't change anything, so don't get me wrong. That wouldn't make nobody do nothing just because I say they done it. If I said, you've turned the Word down, Brother Darty, would that do it with you? No, it wouldn't do it with you. You have to make your own choice. You'd be the one there. It wouldn't be anything for me to say you've done it. But just think about it now. Warning, then judgment. And there's always a space of time. I'd never seen that throughout the Bible like that, that God would do. That's why I ask you, why did he use Hezekiah? I never could understand why he used Hezekiah to talk about that, because I thought warning, then judgment. I thought, well, here it looks like he'd be better to use one of the, he could have used there at Ananias and Sapphira when the man come in and said, have you done this wrong? He said, yeah. I mean, have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Yeah, and he just fell over dead. Looks like that had been the best scripture. Because you can see a warning, then a judgment. You know, a time to repent, and then just over with, just before the man ever turned and blinked an eye. But now the warning, then judgment, is that very fact that he puts you right there. He gives you a warning, then he gives you time to straighten all of that up. That's what Hezekiah asked for, wasn't it? Give me 15 years to make my life, to set it in order. And then at the end of the time, it'd been better off him to die to start with, but yet still he asked it. But now it was to try the true believer. What if Hezekiah would have stayed with the Word, as I said this morning? I believe if he'd have stayed with the Word, if he'd have stayed true with God, when it come to the end of his 15 years, and he'd have said, Lord, I still like about 5 more years. Could you give me that? I believe the Lord would give him 5 more. That's just as easy as giving him the 15, isn't it? Just as simple as giving him that 15, he could give him 5 more, or 25, or 500 more. But see, at the end of the 15 years, he had got tied up in sin and made a disgrace out of Israel. All right, what was it? Warning. Grace, a prophet come in. Said, set your house in order. The man said, I repent, Lord. The prophet come back and said, all right. Grace, see. An extension of his life. All right, you have it. Here's grace. But that grace was the warning. The grace in itself is the warning. That's what I want you to get. The fifth seal is the grace. That in itself is the warning. When a prophet comes, that's grace. That's a warning. When you see the fifth seal open, that's grace. That's a warning. She's just about over. What did we find on the fifth seal? Found that to the person, redemption is over. To the person when the seals break.
Well, we know that by it being Revelations 4 where the rapture takes place. When the seals break, it's done gone. A great man made statements about this Feast of the Trumpets. I won't call his name, but he's a great noted man if you've read his name in these books. As a matter of fact, his name's in this book. He said there's so many mistakes. Now, I've heard he said it. There were so many mistakes in the Feast of the Trumpets, you couldn't understand it. And then the Feast of the Trumpets, right over in the back of it, Brother Branham says, when them seals break, or open to them Gentiles, he said, when the seals open, the church is done gone. Well, that's not a mistake then. There's a little point in there I'd like to put on this tape, just in case anyone ever does say it one of these days. I could preach a message if it was for our understanding. I don't mean that in disrespect to me or you. I don't understand it correctly. Or I'd preach on it. He says, when our seals break. Now, if I understood that enough to put it in language me and you can understand, without getting 14 seals out of it, you know, 7 to us and 7 to Israel, I'd preach on our 7 seals. That, in essence, is what I'm trying to preach, in the way that I'm trying to show that the natural seal reveals things out there that's going on, and it happens, like the man of sin and all this, that, and the other. But we get the spiritual revelation from that. We don't get the actual 6th seal. We've done covered this over and over, that at the time of the breaking of this seal, we're not here, we're done gone. Well, see, then we get the spiritual revelation. Now, if you'll take it that way and say, our 7 seals, then you won't have 14 seals, you won't have 7 to us and 7 to Israel. You'll have the seals breaking to us. Let me use a word Brother Branham used in the Feast of the Trumpets. He said John saw a preview. And he said that's what we're seeing, something to that extent. By the time I'd look it up, he said John saw a preview. I was reading it today. Well, see, that's what he saw. John surely wasn't in the tribulation. We know that, don't we? He was back yonder nearly 2,000 years ago. We sure know that he didn't go into the tribulation. But yet he saw the 6th seal open. Now, for us to see the 6th seal open doesn't mean we're in the tribulation, period. I want to get to it a little later and we'll just see it. We've done been here on it. 1, 2, 3, 4 seals covers the entire earthly journey of man. The 5th seal covers the souls under the altar from that time to that time. From the rejection of Jesus Christ at Calvary, somewhere right in before here, and down through all the 7 church ages and over to the rapture of the church that's covered in these first 4 seals, then the 5th seal, Jew, souls under the altar, comes under there. Then watch it tonight, the 6th seal. The 6th seal laps all the way back over into here and picks it up. Laps all the way back in here on this 4th seal and picks up in there, because the 6th seal shows you the 144,000, and they're called out before the end of the 4th seal, and the end of the 4th seal is the Battle of Armageddon. So they're coming back over in there. But just, see, just put out all time elements. What if John had been standing there and said, oh, we're in the tribulation. But people will stand up and say, you can't get nothing from that 6th seal because that's after we're done gone. Now, I've heard that statement made, and you have too. You've heard that statement made right here. Might not have been while he was preaching, but it was in the minister's meeting. Well, then, not to differ with anybody, because anybody's got a right to believe what he wants to. But I can't see it that way. But I can see it like John, that he saw a preview back there of something that would happen. And you and I, by the breaking of the seals, get the preview of what's taking place. Then we see the breaking of the seals. We see down through there. We wasn't back there when the first seal broke. So it'd be just as easy to go over there and see the 6th seal broke and the 7th seal, the coming of the Lord to Israel, be just as easy to see it that way as it would to go back there and see it breaking in the book of or there in the first church age when they went out. Just as simple one way as it is the other one, isn't it? We see by spiritual revelation. Well, it's page 26, Feast of the Trumpets. I remember writing it down now. Just read page 26, Feast of the Trumpets, and look what the prophet said about John seeing a preview of it. But now listen. Let's look now. Let's just look at something. As we started off covering this morning and went on left it a little. Let's just look at some of the conditions of the hour that we're living in. And let's just see if these things are conditions that are leading up to, as I said now, they said, Brother Branham, is marriage and divorce, is that one of the signs of the end? He said, by itself, no. He said, but everything else together with that, he said, yes. All right, let's just look at some conditions here now. And then we'll turn over in Revelations 8, and we'll start reading at verse 2 and cover down through there. If you want to turn to there where we can get to it in a minute, we'll start reading those conditions right out of the Bible. Now, think of the famines, the pestilence, the earthquakes, the plagues, the things that are happening worldwide. Have you ever seen a year like we're having now? Have you ever seen a time like this morning was warmer than this afternoon has been? We had the air conditioner running wide open this morning and the fans also on this evening with a couple of fans stirring the air. Should be right reversed from that, shouldn't it? But it's cooler this afternoon than it was this morning. Have you ever seen a time when our conditions are like they are across the land? Well, then it means something is building up. Something is coming down towards the end because it's getting to the end. Now, as we're bringing out this morning, have you ever seen the condition of the people like they are now? When the Pentecostal people years ago used to have tomatoes thrown at them for making for the people throw tomatoes at them, making fun of them. Now the same people that had the tomatoes thrown at them are now throwing tomatoes at us. Maybe not in the physical extent, but sitting there at work with a Pentecostal preacher that knows of Brother Branham and made the statement that there was never a man in our day. Now made this statement from his own mouth. I said, thank you, sir. He said, there's never been a man in our day that was as gifted a man as Brother Branham was. Well, that condemned him right there, because how would you follow anybody else then? Now, how in the world could you say that the most gifted man is standing over here, but I'm going over yonder and follow some peanut brain, and one of these days I'll get around to telling him that. If I can ever talk to him serious enough, I'll tell him that. You mean you can follow, I told a man the other day, I said, you don't have no choice. You follow the amount of words, you don't have no choice. See, we don't have a choice, or we give up our choice. You follow where the word's at, you don't have a choice. If there's more word in Atlanta, you go to Atlanta next Sunday, don't come here if you think there's more word in Atlanta. You're not doing me any good. And I'm not doing you any good if you feel that way. I'm just honest. That's the best way to be. If there's more there, I'll go with you. We'll just close out and all of us go. And no disrespect to them in Atlanta. Nothing in the world to anybody. But just trying to make a point of truth. Look at the conditions around the world today. People make fun of you. Ridicule you for the way you live when they used to be the people. My poor old mother and her 80-something, right at 90 years old now. The poor thing has been caught in by the denominational things like that, that when she used to be a Pentecostal and laid in the altar and cried for the Holy Ghost and hadn't cut her hair in all of these years, now talking about getting her hair cut. Talking to my daughter saying, well, you're to have her hair cut across here and it looks better to trim it straight across and get her fixed up, you know, and things. after all of these years that she went that away. The little thing that used to condemn her, has it left? She put on a pair of pants one time, a pantsuit, and she felt condemned about it. If she lived long enough and tried it, she wouldn't be condemned. She'd begin to wear them. I'm not throwing off on my mother. I'm just telling the truth. I love my mother like you love your mothers and your fathers and things. My mother raised me. Heaven help me would say anything against her. She raised me when I would have been turned loose as an orphan. The baby out of nine with a daddy that died when I was 5 years of age. And living through hard times, raising a crop, and her working all day and half the night to raise us. But I wouldn't say it, but I've got to tell the truth about it. But just think now. Look at the conditions. Look at the religious people. The religious people's the worst of all now. And I'm like Brother Woodby. How in the world can you go out there and sit around that bunch without feeling bad? How can you do it without at least feeling bad? And your heart broken? I just reading today where Brother Brown said he's sitting there beside and said that man was sitting there talking about how that, oh, he was a Lutheran and it was all right for him. Said he might as well turn his collar around because it wasn't no difference anyway. He said, I got sick at my stomach. And the way he said it now in the book, he said, walked off the platform. He must have got up and left. That's what I'm taking, he said. He said, I got sick at my stomach, wanted to vomit. And walked off the, and then he just said, walked off the platform. Because of a man saying there wasn't no difference in him and the Catholic. Well, now just think now. Look at all the world and just think about that. And look how the people are. When even the denominations themselves teach that it's wrong for you to make fun of anybody else. Isn't that right? If you were sitting in a Baptist church tonight and the preacher was preaching that come across, wouldn't he preach that it was wrong for you to make fun of anybody else? Now, wouldn't he do it? Well, now just think. Brother Daugherty, turn that up on the, at least a low, cool anyway. Just mash a button, it'll jump on. Just think that they would be the ones. They'd say to yourself, don't make fun of them. I've heard people over and over say, you're not supposed to make fun of nobody. You're ridiculing them. It's out there. And hear them in less than 5 minutes ridiculing somebody. You ever had that happen? All right, then that shows that we're down here at the end. Now, I don't want to go through with all the earthquakes of how many's happened in the world and the plagues and all the things. Now, you living here, you know. So now, let's just go into something. Let's just read Revelations 8 now, if you've got your Bible turned. Let's just read the trumpets. Because all the trumpets, we'll read it in a minute, all seven trumpets sound under the sixth seal, and that's what we're talking about. So this we're going to read here will be under the sixth seal. And I saw verse 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints, upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. All right, now that shows you the church is done gone. Watch your next verse. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There's your sixth seal opening. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now let's just read these. And I want you to remember, and we'll get back to it in a minute, that some of these things under these trumpets have already happened. Because all trumpets sound on the sixth seal, and six of the trumpets has already sounded. That's why I said this sixth seal laps all the way back over into here in the trumpets now. Lord willing, one of these days we'll get down to a place to where that you couldn't disbelieve that little point. But we'll show it the best we can from the prophet's message. But just think now. Some of these things has already taken place. Now let's just read our Bible and I'll stop maybe and comment on a few of them that I know has happened. Some of them I don't understand and I don't intend to say nothing about them because I don't understand it. I know what the prophet said. We've all heard that there'd come a time where it'd be ants crawling across the earth, you know, would be great giant bugs and birds with wings spread covering a half a mile and all kind of hideous things that would be seen. And the prophet of God said that would be man in his imagination. We know better than to think there's any kind of bird that have a mile wide wing spread. The biggest thing you got is, what, a condor buzzard? It's not a reincarnation of a prehistoric days when you got a great animal going across the earth. It's man's mind. So when we read these things, think sensible about the day and the hour we're living and see if it doesn't fit right exactly. Don't try to look at it and say, well, this angel does this and that angel does that. I've done that in the Baptist and you'll go crazy as a bat. But when the prophet of God told us the simplicity of the Scriptures, that it would be in man's mind that these hideous things would happen, then we don't have to try to do something, you know, to figure out what it is. Just read the Bible. And when he said it's already happened, then we'll just read the Bible, says it's already happened. When he got into the seal book, he said, I'll show you right here that a lot of these things have already happened, and you missed it. What about the moon turning to blood? What about the moon going dark? Do you realize when the bride's called out of the church? When the bride is called out from Revelation 18:4, where it says, come out of her, my people. When the bride comes out of the church is in total darkness. The church is the type of the moon. Sun refuses to give forth its light. The Son of God will refuse to give light to them. These things that we read about in the Bible, a lot of them have already happened and we just didn't consider it. Now let's just read through these now. Verse 7. The first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up. And all green grass was burnt up. See, we'd look at that and think, boy, there'd be a day that all the grass would be burnt up. That might not apply that way. Like I said this morning, you might cry for death. That doesn't mean that the atom bomb falls only blow you in 40 million pieces and you can't die. And the second angel sounded. And as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, And many man died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now on the tape mark of the beast, Brother Branham says, woes mean war. And you'll see in here one woe is sounded. The second woe was World War II, and the third woe would be what? World War III. So you're getting down to simple language now, maybe a little better. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now watch him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as scorpions
of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, if that's a scorpion or a locust eats greens. So you're not talking about a locust. You're talking about something else. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Well, you read all. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee them. And the shape. Now there's the people we were talking about a while ago. I mean this morning when we read how that they would be the ones that desire the death and can't find it. The people that turned down the message. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Funny looking locusts, ain't it? And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. You know what Brother Branham said that was? He said that was men with long hair, beetles, in other words, locusts. Funny they called them beetles, ain't it? Men with long hair, and they torment the women with short hair, because the women then see they failed and they'll turn back to the Word and see that there was a group of people preaching it's wrong for the woman to cut her hair. And they'll be tormented. What would torment a woman that would be standing there with her hair cropped off up about her ears, you know, and all where she's had it cut off, and then there stands a man with long hair. She knows she's supposed to have long hair. And it'll torment her worse than any scorpion could ever sting her. See, those are not natural teeth. It says, whereas the teeth of lions. Watch in a minute. Isn't it always funny that they always drawed out the Roman things as great hideous things that people drawed out as the Church of Rome? Like a great three-headed tiger? Like a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast? Brother Branham said that's the resurrection of the Roman Empire. Now, he doesn't say it's all kind of hideous sights that you could just not imagine. He said it's the resurrection of the Roman Empire. Now, watch it. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. That king from the bottomless pit, according to the Feast of the Trumpets, is Satan that enters into a pope and a succession of popes. That's who that is. It's a pope and a succession of popes. Now the sixth, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which hath the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard of the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and all, you have to pronounce that word, and brimstone, and heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood
which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now who is that? Any of us that's read the Feast of the Trumpets know that the 200,000 horsemen are supernatural devils loosed in the days of Eichmann and Hitler and them. We'll read that right out of the book. Then it's not some hideous thing you're looking for. When God describes it, He describes it as a hideous thing, all right. Because to see, if I saw that thing there before me, 200,000 horsemen, the horses ahead like a lion, and fire coming out of their mouth, and all kind of things that would happen, that would be a hideous sight. But that was the Roman Empire that was loosed. That back there, when it stopped under the Christian persecution, and they were forbidden to kill them anymore, it went into it was in a religious state. And it went from there into the old Roman resurrection. Brother Branham used the word something like that, of the Roman Empire, and went after the Jews through Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini. Then just think. All the trumpets. See, we talk about the sixth seal. We say we can't get nothing out of under that sixth seal. As I said, I'm not different with the brother that made the statement for difference sake. I'm different for what the Word says. The prophet of God says between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there would be a Gentile prophet. Between the sixth and seventh seal, he said there'd be a Gentile prophet come. But if you'll overlap the thing, keep overlapping it back, then you can see what it's about. But all trumpets sound on the sixth seal. It's under the persecution. Now listen. I'll just give you these and we won't have to read them because you've heard it. It's been read to you now. That's 22 and 36 of the Feast of the Trumpets. All trumpets sound on the sixth seal. Page 33 of the Broken Cistern. Brother Brandon said six of the trumpets have already sounded. I don't have to read it out of the book. If I can't quote it and you go home and read it, then there's something wrong with me and you both. Page 48 of the Feast of the Trumpets. The sixth had already happened. The sixth trumpet had already happened. We're not in a tribulation period yet, and the prophet said six, all seven trumpets sound under the sixth seal. All seven trumpets, he said, sound under the sixth seal. Where do we get to that little point? Where do we connect the sixth seal to Israel, the sixth trumpet to Israel, to the sixth seal to the bride? Then maybe we'll see we can get something from it. What happens under that sixth trumpet? You'll read page 22 of the Feast of the Trumpet. He said it's under the persecution to the Jews. Stalin and Hitler and all of that is loosed. Just to make sure that I get the wording right, I'll just look down the pages and then I won't have to quote a lot. I mean, read a lot of it. About the middle of the page, he says, but every trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, under the persecution of the Jews. All right, then he goes on to show how that it covers a persecution, page 24, 25, and 26, that it's spiritual horses, spiritual devils, chargers that had been bound in Euphrates all these years, supernatural devils. What was it? The old Roman Empire being revived, the persecution of the Jews. They'd been bound for nearly 2,000 years at the river Euphrates, can't cross to the promise, a religious sect that was trying to get to the other side. Euphrates, you know, come through Eden. You remember that back in the Old Testament? Back there in Genesis? Euphrates run down through Eden. Those supernatural devils are trying to get back into the Garden of Eden. But they wind up in a persecution of natural Israel, they wind up trying to kill them. Says they're still the same ungodly pagan spirit, and that spirit caught into the nations of the world according to the prophecies of Ezekiel. This is page 25. And the rest of them, and they were loosed upon the Jew who know nothing of the spirit. There's your mysteries that's hid under that seal. And we're talking about the sixth seal. So just put the plagues, if you want to, under the sixth seal, because plagues and trumpets and vials and all fits together if you can get it in the right place. Or you can put the trumpets. Just put it under the trumpets. That'd be better than putting the vials. Under the sixth seal, these 200,000 spiritual demons started in Rome, then Germany, Hitler. Notice, over in the Bible, they received power as kings but wasn't crowned. A dictator is not a crowned king but received power as a king. Fits right in with the scriptures then of what it's talking about. The kingdoms that they're all looking for. But now just think. That's under the sixth trumpet to Israel. And that's already happened. As I said, the seal breaks, and when the seal broke, that's what it revealed to the prophet. If you remember, on the Feast of the Trumpets, he was wanting to preach the message of the trumpets. And he could never get the right leading from the Lord to preach it. He kept praying about it. Finally, the Lord came to him and said, you don't have to preach the trumpets because they are to Israel and not to the bride. That's what he says in the Feast of the Trumpets. And he said, the reason that is, you don't have to preach. He said, you've already preached it supernaturally under the sixth seal. Alright, then we find now under the sixth seal, reading the trumpets and seeing that under that sixth seal, Israel is called out. Read your seal book. Under the sixth seal is the calling out of Israel, the 144,000. But this part that we see here is under the trumpets, and he brings six of those trumpets that's already sounded. And the sixth trumpet was the 200,000 horsemen loosed back yonder under Stalin and Hitler and him. And what was it for? To drive Israel to the homeland. Now that was what it was for, was to drive Israel to the homeland. Now, if that's under the sixth trumpet, and all of that sound under the sixth seal, then we're not talking about that we're already in the tribulation, are we? Because we know we ain't. But we're looking at it by spiritual revelation of something that happens leading up to the great tribulation. What was the killing of Eichmann and Hitler and all of that? What do you find from the fifth seal that is? What is it calling on the fifth seal? A pre-tribulation. You remember that your other week when we were studying on it? That those that was killed, see, the ones that's killed there under that sixth trumpet by Hitler and Eichmann, them driving them back to the homeland. Listen, think about it. Why did Israel have to go through that? Why did Israel have to go through that trouble, that judgment, and be hated of every nation in the world? They turned their warning down. When they rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they turned it down, and now they're under judgment, ain't they? You see what I was talking about this morning fit in? They're under judgment now. The judgment of God, the wrath of God is against Israel in that extent. Because they're being killed by everybody all over the world and trying their best to wipe them out. That fifth seal shows those souls under the altar. It just goes all the way back to Calvary and comes down. But on the sixth seal, you don't drop back to Calvary and come with. You just drop back under that, what he called on the fifth seal, the pre-tribulation. They're going through a pre-tribulation right now. They're going through a judgment time right now. We're not in the judgment under the sixth seal. That's when the wrath of God's poured out on the world. But yet, by revelation, we see what's happening to Israel is already under that judgment.
Is what's leading up to the judgment, to the final. But then now connect the two together. Connect the bride right in where the Jews at. Has not the bride been, is she not now being brought into the kingdom? Has she not being brought in, been brought into the kingdom down to there while Hitler and Eichmann and them were killing the Jews? Wasn't she being brought into the kingdom? Well, she wasn't in the tribulation, was she? But she is being brought into the kingdom. But now listen, watch the two run together and you'll see the sixth trumpet has already sounded. Do you see what I'm talking about? You see what the prophet says there? That sixth trumpet that we read of the 200,000 horsemen, he said that was loosed under Hitler and Eichmann and all them, the supernatural devils. Do you realize that 20 years after that war, and World War II ended in 1945, and 20 years later, according to the page 28 of the Feast of the Trumpets, 20 years later it was released in an ecclesiastical spirit after the bride of Jesus Christ. Page 27, watch what he says about it. Coming all the way down in the ecclesiastical realm. Has been opened from the natural revival. The old pagan Roman went forth on those Jews, which has always been their enemy. The lion with the teeth and everything that stomped down and broke out the people, Rome. Always been God's enemy. Then he talks about it being a religious system. And in the cunningness, he said, he's come in like flattery. What has he done? He's bringing the Protestant Ecumenical Council of the World Churches, the spirit of the Antichrist upon both of them, bringing them to the slaughter, just like they did the other, in an hour to call the bride. How? Loosed in the ecclesiastical church spirit, loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, upon the bride. That 200,000 horsemen of the old Roman Empire that killed the Jews in World War II and up through there until that time, 20 years after that war, which 45 was when the war ended, in 65 then, those 200,000 horsemen would be released on the bride of Christ. See, then we get tied up. We'll say, oh, we can't get nothing out of none of that tribulation because that's six seals, that tribulation. We can't get nothing from there. Then you can't get what the prophet's talking about on the Feast of the Trumpets then. There's no way. And you'd be totally left out of the message. Because you got to have the Feast of the Trumpets to understand. You'll never understand what happened in the last days without the Feast of the Trumpets. Let's see if you do. Come show me you can. Anybody ever hears this, come show me you can. You can't do it. Feast of the Trumpets is the message that puts it in there. Because the Feast of the Trumpets is the only way you'll ever understand the sixth seal. You'll never come to understand the sixth seal until you get to the Feast of the Trumpets. Because when you get into the sixth seal, you're just going to see the tribulation. That's all you're going to see. You ain't going to see nothing else. Then how are you going to get them people under there? How's it going to come in there? Listen. Loosed under the natural, I'm talking about the Israel, under the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet looses to Israel to drive her to the homeland, and when she gets to the homeland, the literal sixth seal opens under the literal tribulation period. And when it does, God rides on the scene. Let me say it like this. The seventh seal comes on the scene. Let's just say it that way. People's made fun of me anyway. They laughed and done it. They'll never understand what you're talking about except by spiritual revelation. That's why they laugh and make fun of me. Then we'll just say it where they can't understand it. I don't mean to where they can't understand because I'd help anybody in the world. But I mean just make statements right straight out like that. That when the seventh seal rides on the scene, then maybe you can catch what I'm talking about. Maybe they'll catch what I'm talking about. Maybe they'll see what the seventh seal is then. Because Brother Branham says on 432 of the seal book that God rides right on the scene there to Israel in the tribulation after the two witnesses come on the scene and preach. And bring down the plagues and open that seal and everything. Do you realize that the sixth seal shows Christ outside of his church to Israel and shows Christ outside of his church to the bride? Read it right out of the Feast of the Trumpets. Let's get down and see if we can read it. Let me just go through my notes because the only way I have of getting there. I'll get ahead of them and I'll mix it all up. So we see the natural is to drive Israel back to the homeland. But to us, now listen, I showed you it's loosed on the natural Israel driver to the homeland. Then 20 years later, it's loosed on the bride of Christ. Now watch what happens. Israel and the bride. Now watch them come right down through that. So we see the natural Israel is to drive them to the homeland. The sixth seal persecution is. The pre-tribulation. The sixth seal trumpet. We'll say it that away. But to us is to drive us to the message of the hour. There's no hopes outside of the message of the hour. We can think what we want to. Notice on the sixth seal we see Israel drove to the homeland so they can see the Messiah. Then 432 of the seal book, God rides on the scene right there to Israel on the sixth seal while it's taking place. Notice this point. Page 35 of the Feast of the Trumpets. Watch this about the church now. Page 35 of the Feast of the Trumpets. Watch it about the church and where she's at. We've done seen natural Israel and what's happening there now. And God comes on the scene to them now in the tribulation. Under the sixth trumpet, the Jews, are you listening? Under the sixth trumpet, the Pentecostals reject the Bible. The lukewarm, not only the Pentecostals, all the rest. The church, world, rejects Christ and he's put on the outside. And in the same trumpet, listen, our same seal, he's talking about the sixth now, rather, when it was open, they showed Jesus on the outside of the church trying to get back in. At the same time, the trumpet sounds for the Jews, and the Jews recognize the atonement. The same seal, the same trumpet. The sixth trumpet, the Israel drives her to the homeland, don't it? Have you understood enough of that to see what I'm not? The sixth trumpet, the Israel drives her to the homeland. That's what the prophet said happened. Then God comes on the scene. The sixth trumpet and the sixth seal, when the sixth seal opened, he says here that when it opened, it showed Jesus outside the church. Now I go right back to where I was at. Warning, then judgment. Mercy had left. The sixth seal is judgment. Warning, then judgment. Going right back to the same message. Because the sixth seal reveals the same as the sixth trumpet that Jesus Christ is outside of his church. He said the Pentecostals and all the rest reject the Bible under the sixth trumpet. Well, we know that's done happened, ain't it? It's done happened. But the little bride, now watch what happens to her. According to page 29 and 30 of the Feast of the Trumpets, the Holy Ghost is to be set free in this last day. So we see on the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet, now listen, on the sixth trumpet to Israel, we see 200,000 horsemen loosed to drive them to the homeland. Then God comes on the scene to them. To the bride of Christ, we see 20 years after that war, 200,000 horsemen loosed on the bride to drive her to the message of the hour. Now read it right out of the Feast of the Trumpets. That's what happens. It's to drive her to the message of the hour. Because the Holy Ghost is to be set free. Page 34. Now here's a great thing. Oh my, the Holy Spirit has been bound by the denominations all these 2,000 years. Page 35. And the Holy Spirit. Now this is just after reading what's up here. Now let's just read it all together. Under the sixth trumpet, the Jew, are you listening? Under the sixth trumpet, the Pentecostals reject the Bible. The lukewarm, not only the Pentecostals, all the rest. The church world rejects Christ, and he's put on the outside. And in the same trumpet, or same seal, rather, when it was opened, they showed Jesus on the outside of the church trying to get back in. At the same time, the trumpet sounds for the Jews, and the Jews recognize the atonement. Glory, hallelujah, oh my. The Holy Spirit's been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but is to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time message. The Holy Spirit back in the church again. Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. When the sixth trumpet sounds to Israel, it shows Christ outside of his church to them. When the sixth trumpet sounds to the bride, it shows Christ outside the church. When the sixth seal breaks to Israel in the literal there, they'll be in the tribulation and Christ will be outside in those two prophets calling for that 144,000 to come out. And then when he does, God will ride right down on the scene right there. Comes right down himself on the scene to Israel. Then church, can you see it? The sixth seal, the sixth trumpet. Saying it that way, we'll all stay together, the sixth trumpet, the sixth seal. To the bride, when she sees the seal rightly, she'll see Christ outside of his church. He's done left the mercy seat. He's done off the mercy seat then when you see it. If the fifth seal shows redemption's over for the person now, then surely the sixth seal would show you that judgment will follow. And the sixth trumpet, Christ is outside of his church. Under the sixth seal, he's outside of his church. And he comes in then to the bride. And listen, what are we reading there? The Holy Spirit's been bound for 2,000 years. But in the evening time when you're driven back to the message, that's what them 200,000 horsemen's to do. It drove the natural Israel back into the homeland. It drives a spiritual bride right to the message of the hour. And when you come right to the message of the hour, then what happens? The Holy Ghost is loosed. The Holy Ghost is loosed. Been bound for 2,000 years. The sixth seal mystery to the bride shows you the Holy Ghost has been bound for 2,000 years, but shows Christ outside of his church. If he's outside of his church, then you go out to him. Just like the fifth seal showed us grace, that there was a prophet in the last days. The sixth seal shows that judgment is striking out there. Sure, it's just in a minor, because every time a church age went forth, what happened? A word went forth, a seal broke, as Brother Brandon said, down through the ages, coming down through their parallel, comparing the church ages and the seals. He said there was a church age open, a seal broke. Said, then a messenger went forth, and when they did, said the people received that message of the hour and were sealed away with him. And then what happened to the religious world of that day? A plague struck them. Read your first seal and see if that's right. A plague struck the church. The last plague that strikes this church in the end time is what? Spiritual darkness. What was the last plague that struck Israel? I mean Egypt when they was leaving Israel. What was the last plague? The children of Israel had light, but the rest of them was in total darkness. What's the last plague to strike this end time group of people? Spiritual darkness. The sixth seal shows God will come on the scene to his church. The sixth seal shows God on the scene to his church, to Israel as a church. And it shows God will come on the scene because the Holy Ghost is loosed and the Holy Ghost is God. We have been driven to the message of the hour by those spirits And now the Holy Ghost is being loosed. But if we don't recognize it, then what good would it do us? What good would it do to hear the gospel trumpet if you can't hear? What good would that do? Church? You think about it. I just want to quote these next ones because I'm going back and preach on them again, the Lord willing. Page 35 of the Feast of the Trumpets. The sixth trumpet shows Christ on the outside of His church. The sixth seal shows Christ on the outside of the church. I just read it to you. Same seal, same trumpet. Page 36. Christ revealed to the Jews on the sixth trumpet. Sixth seal. Page 37. Feast of the Trumpets. Malachi 4 comes between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Malachi 4 comes between the sixth and seventh seal. Page 39, Feast of the Trumpets. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet, there's a prophet to appear on the scene. We know we're not in the tribulation period. We wasn't in the tribulation period when Brother Branham was here and there's not another Gentile prophet to come. Some of them took that statement trying to prove it'd be another prophet to come. But they didn't catch what Brother Branham said. He said six of them trumpets has already sounded. So between the sixth and seventh trumpet. I just told you what the seventh seal is. I put it in plain language what it was. And how many caught it? We'll have to go backwards and forth in it because ain't no need of me just, you didn't catch it in what I said there a while ago, then there's no need of trying to say, just tell you what it is. Tell me what it is, I'll catch it. Yeah, then you'll say, yeah, I know what it is. Glory, hallelujah, I know what it is. No, but when you see the seal break, you'll know what it is. I've put it in the message twice now. I told you it's back under, it's been 5 or 6 months ago. I said, I'm telling you now what the seventh seal is. I've told you twice now what it is. You say, well, you shouldn't hold it from us. Well, there's no way to tell you if you can't catch it. I have to wait until you can get to the place that you'll come up to me and you'll say, Brother Dale, I see what that is. My wife riding down the road today, she said, I see what that seventh seal is now. Well, see, then you've got to catch it that way. Every seal is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or you'd be contrary to Scripture. First four seals shows you are redeemed. The last three shows you how. We've already covered justification on the fifth seal. Lord willing, very soon we'll cover sanctification and see what actually happens at sanctification, because they ain't but six seals in this Bible. Now, do we think that Isaiah wrote a complete Bible and he wrote six seals? Moses wrote a complete Bible and he wrote six seals. Jesus preached six seals and didn't preach the seventh, and John omitted the seventh on the Isle of Patmos. Do we think we're going to come along and Brother Branham's going to give us that seventh seal outside of this book? It'll have to be whatever Scripture in this book spoke of. Brother Branham said, if a man thinks he has those seven thunders and it don't compare with ever Scripture in this Bible, forget it. Then the seven thunders couldn't be a two-soul message because it won't compare with these Scriptures. It couldn't be a seven thunder virtue message because it won't fit with these Scriptures. But it can be what I just said there a while ago. And let's just repeat it one more time and then we'll close. The sixth trumpet. All trumpets sound under the sixth seal. Now listen very carefully. All trumpets sound under the sixth seal. So that means when the two witnesses come in the tribulation period, the literal sixth seal will open and there'll be two witnesses standing there that will be the seventh trumpet through them. Now they won't be it. I got a little message I want to preach about a prophet. If I ever get to the right place to preach it. because those two prophets opened that sixth seal, as I said the other day. I said, two prophets opened that sixth seal. I said, is that contrary to the Lamb opening the sixth seal? Then we might find out without a prophet in the last days, me and you couldn't have made it. Because that prophet would have to be here for the seals to break. But listen, six trumpets to Israel, 200,000 horsemen, loosed under the natural rim to drive Israel to the homeland. The sixth seal will show Christ outside the church standing there in two prophets telling those 144,000, come out of that system. I'll show you in the seal, in the Feast of the Trumpets and in the seal book. They will be in there and have to come out. Now the 144,000 won't be in the daily sacrifices thing. They'll come away from the daily sacrifices. They come away from that. They've got to be called out by two witnesses. But they'll be in the covenant when we go out of here, because all Israel's in a covenant. Just like America's in a covenant with Germany now to supply them, that means me and you are in a covenant with them, don't it? So all Israel will be in a covenant with the Antichrist. Then two witnesses standing there calling, sixth seal, calling, saying, come out, come out. And as quick as they come out, plagues let loose, earthquakes and everything happen, then God rides right on the scene. The bride of Christ, 20 years after that war there, those 200,000 horsemen was loosed on us to drive us to the message of the hour. And when we get to the message of the hour, we find that there was a prophet standing there between the sixth and seventh trumpet. A prophet comes on the scene, and when he comes on the scene, then he comes declaring his message and telling the church to come out, and Christ is outside of his church. And then God rides on the scene. The Holy Ghost is loosed. I couldn't say it no plainer what the seventh seal is and what I just said. Brother Branham said the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. What other word could I use besides riding right on the scene and say what the prophet has said? The Holy Ghost is to be loosed by the message of the hour. If you want the Holy Ghost loose, get in the message. Now, why has people been so contrary to me when I've always wanted people to study the message? People went out from here saying, oh, we don't have to study, Brother Dale. Just want to study. They had a warning, church. And I'm sorry, but judgment will follow it. I pray it not, but it will. As I said a while ago, it wouldn't make no difference if I said it about a person. Neither will it make no difference if I don't say it about them. Neither will it stop the judgment from coming on the world for me to say it ain't going to come. Do you see what that is then? Do you see what that seal is? That sixth seal shows God standing there. And then the seventh seal shows you something more personal than just seeing God in two prophets. Or in our day, God in one prophet. Outside of church saying, come out. Let's stand together. Father, we know our heart hurts because we wish that the people of the message could have been here tonight. Our own families, knowing that some are away because of sicknesses in the families, just be with Terrence and Lisa as they travel home, bringing her home from sitting up with her mother. We ask you to be with all the little bride. Father, help us to see that we've had our warning and that judgment waits. And judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly appear? Help us to see that we're being driven to the homeland.
to the message of the hour, and the Holy Ghost is being set free. Forgive our sins. Guide each heart and life. Bless the brothers and sisters that will hear these messages. May they study themselves and see that their warning has come. Judgment follows. Guide us now in the furtherment of the service. If there be any here, Lord, that are sick, we know they are. Reach down and touch their bodies. There be any sin sick. There be any that's backslidden, Lord. Speak to them. Bring them to you in Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And purchased my salvation. On Calvary Street. Sing it like this now if you need healing. He heals me. He heals me. Because He first loved me. And by His stripes I'm healed completely now. I'm free. Reach out and touch the Lord as He... Let's start over again. I get too low. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear our hearts cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Sing it to Him now. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Have you? You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Listen, church. What years ago that Brother Woodby began to preach and to talk to us here in his church about, you remember we came out of the woods from being down in the woods, and he just said a few things about what the Lord had spoken to him about. And as we began to come out of the woods, as he began to talk to me, I could see something in the Word. He said, just turn left and let's go down about the river. We went down towards the river there from Brother Hansis' house instead of coming back by it. And as we crossed that Oconee River, I looked out there and I saw a river that run into it right at that place, right where we was at just a few minutes before then. It runs right into it. Sat there many times and talked with him about the things of the Lord. And I began to sing a song. And I still have the same song in my heart. I still have the same thoughts I had when I saw what he was talking about and began to try to preach it, and I'm still trying to preach the same thing. And I began to sing a little song. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the going in the mulberry tree. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. That was a Mulberry River. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is God's moving day. Come a little closer where the fire's falling. Move on, brother. Move on. Sing it to the Lord now. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on. That's what I saw then, and that's what I see now. The move's on. I can hear, like David, it heard the going in the mulberry bush. Mulberry tree. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. Here's what I like. Move on, brother. The choice is yours. You've had your warning. Judgment waits if you don't move. Hey, come a little closer where the fire's falling. The Holy Ghost is to be set free. There, move on. Appreciate each one of you being out today. Just pray one for another. Pray that the Lord would guide us, because we need that. We want to preach on what the Lord wants preach on. You don't know what it is to have to sit sometimes and wait for day after day after day and see the weekend coming and not have a message. How would you like it? How would you like for next Sunday morning me to walk out here and say, Brother Daugherty, you're going to speak this morning? How would you like it? Brother Colley's a minister, but how would he like it for me to come out here next Sunday morning and say, Brother Colley, I don't have anything. You're going to have to speak. See, that's the way I go sometimes. But I want the Lord to tell me what to say. I've tried to explain something and made enemies by it, I guess. But a teacher is different from a preacher. A teacher can take this Bible and any topic you give me. Not saying I'm a teacher, whatever I am, the Lord will make me that, not me or you. I can take that Bible and stand it right there and let it fall open and pick any word in there. And the Holy Spirit will give me a sermon to teach you. I'm not mocking anybody or making fun of anybody or saying anything wrong. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. A teacher, you can write a word on the board. Combat beast. A minister looks at that and he goes haywire. He don't know what to say. He don't get a message like a teacher does. No, he just can't do that. But a teacher, he can just take that word home with him, start studying it. First thing you know, he's got a sermon, and he can teach it. But I'm trying to operate in a different way than I used to operate that way. I'm trying to wait day by day and say, what is it? What next, Lord? Where do I speak next? Read the same scripture. I hope we're moving on. I hope we're catching something and moving on with the Lord. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, let's just all bow our heads. Father, we ask you to dismiss us from one another with love and grace. Take care of us on the highway. Bless the people. Supply the necessary needs financially and spiritually. Guide each one. Bless us all together. Lift us up in you that we may look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, the guide of our life and the joy of our heart. Thank you for your word. Guide each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.